Hello everyone, this is Svetlana, and you are listening to Rock on Radio. Now, where are Moose and Squirrel?
Right. Hello everybody, welcome to Rock on Radio. Callan, the Russians came over to the house. They came to the Jocko Ranch. They wanted our beefalo. There's a Russian connection everywhere, Callan. See,
everywhere.
They came there looking for moose and squirrel. I want to thank Svetlana for being a good sport about that yesterday. I woke up and there was Svetlana in the driveway.
Nice.
See, she's actually married to our Jocko, and I have a buddy from high school named Kenny, and that's his wife.
Cool.
She was there. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Rock on Radio. I am your host, Danny Coleman, and I am joined in studio this evening by Engineer John.
Good evening.
Hello, John.
How are
and
you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Good. And the M-Cube, the M-Cube photographer, Tom Callan, is here with us this evening, and we have a studio audience of Trish.
Yay!
And who'd you bring with you? Sheila. Trish and Sheila. That's Yay. Right. You told me. And?
Lindsay.
That's Yay. Right. She just told me that. My, you know what? I have a mind like a steel sieve. Rock on Radio is coming to you live right here on PANJRadio.com in Lambertville, New Jersey. And before I get started, I have a few things I really need to say this evening. Number one, I want to wish a speedy recovery to my fabulous co-host, Marianne Costello, who is relapsed a little bit with her flu. She had no voice, John. She had no voice.
Really?
Yeah. Even with no voice, she sounds better than me. But she was having trouble talking. And her and Rich Shalanda could not make it this evening.
We wish her a speedy recovery.
Yeah, we'll talk about some stuff that Marianne and I have coming up this next couple of weeks, a little bit later on in the show. But tonight's show, just like my Rock on Fire Pit, thank you, first of all, everybody who tuned into my Rock on Fire Pit last night. By the show's end, we had over 300 views, Callan.
Cool.
So I was very happy about
that. Good numbers.
You know, yeah, I was very happy about that. But last night's fire pit was dedicated to the memory of my friend and many others, Santa Ray Tilly. Santa passed away suddenly yesterday at some point during the day. I found out about it about 40 minutes before I went on air, or on backyard, whatever you want to call it there, Facebook Live with the fire pit. Santa, there's good news and bad news with that. Callan, the good news is that we'll have much more eggnog at the Christmas Spectacular this year. The bad news is I'm going to miss the heck out of Santa Ray. Wow. Santa Ray was the official Santa Claus of the Rock on Radio Christmas Spectacular. He was also a musician. He was also very well liked by many people, more than I can count. He left his sleigh print, so to speak, on many communities with charity work. I know he used to do a thing every year, Socks for Seniors, where he would collect socks and go to nursing homes. And you leaving already? Oh, great, Sheila. That's nice. See ya. Lindsay, you're it. Tag. But Santa used to do Socks for Seniors, and he would take socks to senior citizens in nursing homes, and they'd play a little bit. Santa was always in character. I think I saw him once without his beard. Santa was the kind of guy, when I told my nephews, or I told him that I had nephews both under the age of 7, and that, I might ask them to come to the Christmas show, he said, "What time do you want me there?" And he came there right from another Santa gig on Staten Island, I think. He drove down to Hamilton, New Jersey, and made sure that he was there before everybody else got there. so that those two kids could sit on his knee and tell him what they wanted for Christmas. And he made sure that he had a little toy to give them both. That was just Santa. Mm-hmm. But Santa could also let you know, where he stood. More than one time, Santa would call me out on this very program. Right here, I'm looking at Facebook. I keep expecting him to message me and say, Danny, shut up and get on with the show. You know, but Santa, you know, would have no problem calling me out. He was a loyal listener. He was a frequent listener. He was a fellow musician. And he is going to be dearly missed, especially by the music community of the Jersey Shore, which is where he was from. Santa could be found at open mics and supporting every musician's gig up and down, you know, from Long Branch or Keyport, actually, all the way down to Point Pleasant, Seaside, even further south if it warranted it. I know that he had some favorites. I know that my girlfriends from Strawberry Pie, Dee Dee and Laura, which is how I met Santa, actually. He was doing a charity thing, and Dee Dee said, you really got to talk to this guy and maybe get him on your show to promote the whole thing. And then he also contributed to Magic on the Navasink, the Red Bank All-Stars charitable CD, which is available at the redbankallstars.com, which supports the Red Bank Elks Lodge Veterans Charities programs this year. Last year it was Little Kids Rock. He has a song on there. Santa was just an all-around good guy. And, you know, I kind of think about it. It's funny. He was on the list. Santa was on the list for a heart transplant. Other than what he would post on Facebook or social media, you never really knew because he was always Santa. You know, he wasn't the kind who would look at you and be miserable or grumpy because, you know, he had health issues. He actually used to poke fun of himself about, you know, his health issues, and which is what made him a likable guy. But he was on a list to get a new heart, and they thought that he would have, you know, wasn't something that needed to be done immediately, but it was something that needed to be done. And I guess it should have been done immediately, maybe. I don't know. But unfortunately for us, And for Santa Ray, didn't happen. But I want to dedicate this program, last night's Fire Pit, this program, and tomorrow night's One More with Danny Coleman on the Carousel Arts YouTube channel. These are all dedicated to you, Santa Ray. Christmas is not going to be as fun this year sitting at this table. But we're going to do our best to represent what you stood for. Just like the spirit of Christmas, you know, we always thought that Santa Ray would live on forever. Now he will, but in our hearts. So without going on too much, I want to welcome my guests this evening, all the way from, where are you guys from anyway?
New Brunswick,
okay. I knew you were up there somewhere, I just wasn't sure where. We have two of the members of the Clydes. We have Brent and Brian. How are you guys?
Very good, thank you. Thanks for having us.
You guys are, thank you for your patience with my show opener there,
by the way.
If you want to get in touch with us tonight, you can do so at 609-460-4673. That's 609-460-4673. Everybody who calls this program tonight will be registered for a meet and greet September 9th. If you want to win a meet and greet with Paul Nelson of the Johnny Winter All-Star Band. Now, if you're familiar with Paul, Paul was Johnny Winter's right-hand man for multiple years. And I've known Paul probably for about 6 or 7 years now, I guess. He tours. He won a Grammy for Johnny's posthumous blues record, which won a Grammy, finally. I've done a meet-and-greet with Paul and Johnny Winter about 6 months before Johnny passed away. So I was lucky enough to have met the man. And Paul and I have been in touch, and he'll be calling this program next week. And after he calls, we'll give away the meet and greet. It's for September 9th. I've got two tickets for a meet and greet at World Cafe Live in Philadelphia. So if you're in that area or you want to make the trip Anybody who calls tonight will be registered. Now, the affiliates who are listening, obviously you can't call because it's not live. But what you can do is send me an email, rockonradio1460@hotmail.com. That's rockonradio1460@hotmail.com. And I will also put you in the running. You can register there by doing so. And anybody who's listening to this other than on Sunday evening. And we'll do that. So you can follow us there by giving us a call tonight, 609-460-4673. Or you can follow along on Facebook, Danny Coleman's Rock on Radio 2, the number 2, Danny Coleman's Rock on Radio 2. And Twitter, Rock on Radio, all one word and all capital letters. So, what's up, fellas?
Not much. First of all, we're happy to be here. Thank you for having us. We just had a new EP come out a few weeks ago called Lucid Garden. You can get it all on YouTube, iTunes, all those places. And we have another full-length album coming out in October on Min 400 Records.
Nice.
So we have a lot of new music coming out.
Okay, and you have actually brought along with you the entire Clyde's
catalog, the whole thing.
Catalog,
yep.
So anybody who calls in this evening, until they're gone, we will gladly give you, besides being registered for the meet and greet, we will give you a copy of the entire Clyde's catalog. So if you're a Clyde's fan, or want to be, or will be after hearing them this evening, you can call in and win, 609-460-4673. All right, so you guys are brothers.
We are.
Okay.
Yep.
That's not personal, right, Brian?
No.
Okay, good.
Depends where we go with this, yes.
So you guys are brothers. Now, you're both in the band, right?
Yeah. Okay. Brian plays lead guitar and I sing.
Okay. Now, who else is in the group with you?
We also have two friends, our bassist, Andrew Lord Chandler, and our drummer, Mad Mardigan.
Mad Mardigan.
Yeah.
Sounds like a unique... What am I thinking? Mad Mardigan.
He does not like if you call him by his real name.
Yes.
Which is what? Mad?
I don't even know if I should say.
No, it's a secret in all 50 states.
No way. Wow. Okay. that's why that name sounds familiar. Mad Mardigan. That's okay. You know, drummers can be a little quirky.
They can be.
They can be. Yeah. I understand that.
He also wears a headband.
Does he?
So, it's his thing.
And what kind of headband? Like
it's
a bandana?
One of those, what you would have seen John McEnroe wearing in 1985.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So, it works for him.
All right. I'm not that quirky. So tell me about, first of all, let me get it out there right now. You guys are here simply because of Bob Macon.
Yes, Bob's a good guy and good friend.
As a matter of fact, you're going to sit with me again tomorrow night on
One
More with Danny Coleman. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. Bob sent you to me because you were playing the after party?
Yeah, the Rock New Brunswick, which is a festival in New Brunswick, or music festival in New Brunswick. The weekend of September, we're playing September 10th, the after party at the Scarlet Pub, which is on Easton Avenue in New Brunswick, right beside Rutgers University. So we're doing the really cool after show. We're going to rock out there.
Yeah, he's got quite a few bands there.
Yeah, a lot of good bands.
As a matter of fact.
And, you know, good music town.
Oh, yeah, New Brunswick. You know, it's kind of, I have to reach out, I have to thank Bob because Bob has kind of opened up a whole new avenue for me by doing this with you guys. I mean, I'm familiar with the New Brunswick music scene. Do I know it well? No. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm more of a Jersey Shore scene guy.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, I've kind of withdrawn from a little bit, and I've been concentrating mostly on Bob's artists, because between here and the YouTube program that you'll be on tomorrow night, and some of the writing I've done, you know, Bob is sending me this constant stream of bands that he's either featured or has or will feature or that are part of this whole Rock New Brunswick or his 30th anniversary of Making Waves.
Yeah.
You know? So how'd you first encounter Mr. Macon?
Bob's an institution in that area. If you grow up listening to music in the New Brunswick area, you know his column and you know him as a figure in the scene. And to be mentioned in his column, which runs in a few newspapers, ours is the Home News Tribune. Up there in New Brunswick's newspaper. You know, it's a big deal. You know, New Brunswick has a great music scene, and Bob is one of the figureheads of that. So, New Brunswick music goes back, you know, decades, and there's not as big as it used to be. It's not as, meaning the music scene there, it's not as strong or as widespread, but there's still a lot of great bands and a lot of great artists making music there.
Okay. When was your first gig in the scene up there?
Oh, 2011.
Okay.
We've played in other bands besides this, but as the Clydes, 2011. And they're with the original core tavern owners, but they've gone through problems throughout the years.
And,
We opened, the first show was the core tavern in April 2011. We've played there dozens of times since then. We also play the Jersey Shore music scene. We play New York,
Asbury
we play
Park
Philadelphia.
Lot,
Where do you play in Asbury?
Well, we usually play the Saint Wonder Bar.
We've played the Stone Pony twice. Yeah. We've played all kinds of festivals there, too. We headlined the Oyster Fest there a few years ago.
That was today, actually.
Was it today's Oyster Fest? So we've been all, I mean, you know, the Core Tavern was our home base for a long time, but that's not exactly what it once was. And, you know, we played New York, you know, we played the Bitter End in New York. We've played the Grape Room in Philadelphia. You know, we've been all over.
I love the Bitter End.
Bitter End's
great. That's my favorite room in New York City.
Great venue. A very big honor to play there. We played there twice.
Have you?
Yeah, really great venue.
What kind of time slot?
We played, I'd say, like, what?
45 eight, minutes.
Yeah, 45 minutes, yeah. 8, 9 o'clock.
Oh, exactly. Look at you guys, 8 or 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I went there to
see...
I went there one time to see a show, and the headliner came on at, like, 11, I think.
Yeah.
And then there were people slotted till like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Late.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, it's always like in New Jersey, if you get booked at like midnight, you wonder if people are still going to be there sometimes.
Right.
But in New York, they're always there, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing about the city.
Yeah. You know?
But people always wandering in and out and around.
Yeah.
So what's it like having your brother in the band?
Well, this goes way back. I mean, I've wanted to be a musician ever since I was tiny. I remember being like 7 years old, and I wanted to take piano lessons. And I asked my mom if I could dress up like Billy Joel in the "It's Still Rock and Roll to Me" video,
which is not a good look.
No, it's not a good look, especially when you're a 7 year old and from East Brunswick, New Jersey. But Brian was always there. Brian took guitar lessons at the same time as I did, and we had very similar taste in music, very similar sense of humor. So it just made sense that if I did music, that he would be there, and vice versa. So it's very simple when, you know, we were growing up and living bedroom to bedroom next door to each other. If he had a guitar riff, that he would come walk into my room and we'd write a song, or I'd write a song and send it to him. You know, as long as you have the same sensibilities as your siblings, it makes it actually easier to be in a band. If you notice, bands with brothers like the Kinks, Oasis, they break up eventually, but it takes a while because you have that bond there. So, you know, it also makes it maddening because he knows all my bad traits and vice versa. So we can, you know, tee each other off pretty soon.
But we're not quite the Gallagher brothers.
No. We've never thrown punches at each other, at least not on stage.
I'll tell you what. The Davies brothers are close, too.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the Fogartys who never speak to each other anymore, you know.
I mean, I don't plan to speak to him.
Yeah, we need to up the ante after the show.
Really? Like, I'm never going to
speak. Convince us.
Yeah.
actually, you know what? You guys are lucky because the M Cube photographer is not only a photographer, but he's also a mediator. So he can mediate any disputes, right?
No.
You see? His confidence is right there. You've got his confidence.
Well, I mean, we, you know, all the songs in the band we write together, you know, so we have a very good working relationship, you know, even if we disagree over certain bands and stuff like, I can't think of what, you really like early Madonna.
Yeah, underrated.
And I really like Herman's Hermits. But those two don't necessarily mix, so.
You lost me at early Madonna.
Yeah. But not Herbert's Hermits. That's it. Like, Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter. Great song.
Okay, great. Okay, so why the Clydes?
Well, we were struggling for a while to think of a name, and we were watching a Knicks game, and Walt Clyde Frazier walked on the screen wearing a full-length cow suit. This is the same exact time we're thinking of a name.
Yeah, we went to a bar, and, like, we're trying to think of a name. We had, like, a menu, and we're writing names down.
And Andrew, right when he came by, I was like, that's the name, the Clydes.
Yeah, our bassist.
It's stuck ever since, yeah.
Although, initially, Brian tried to get it to be the Clyde Vipers, which no one knows what that means.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't remember why I wanted the Clyde Vipers.
Yeah, but the Clydes, it's stuck, and harkens back to the days when you had, you know, the blank in terms of names and bands. It's a little bit different now. You don't see that as much. I like the last name. It's also a little bit of a nod to the Smiths, who are a band of the 80s we really love.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Smiths.
It's kind of that idea.
Because they kept getting confused at one point with the Smithereens at times.
From New Jersey, yeah.
Right. So, websites, social media, how do we find you?
Oh, yeah, the Clydes on the website is thecludesmusic.com. Because the Clydes was taken, but doesn't exist. It's one of those things where someone bought the band name years ago, but there's no. It just takes you to like a GoDaddy site or something. So thecludesmusic.com. But if you go to, you search for us on Facebook. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter. Never got a MySpace page. We're a little bit too young for that. But yeah, we're easy to find if you Google us.
Oh, man, that hurts.
But be aware, there is another Clydes, and they're from the South, and they play bluegrass music.
Okay.
And we've challenged them to a duel.
Yeah, we don't really like them.
Which you'd think in the South they'd be okay with a duel, but I guess they didn't want to make the mileage to drive
up
to New
Jersey. We
hope
they're listening right now.
So
you couldn't agree to meet them like halfway, maybe Virginia or something?
I guess.
I like our chances, though.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
We do have a good chance. But if you search the Clydes, we're the ones that play rock and roll, not bluegrass.
You should do it at Appomattox Courthouse.
Yes. Absolutely.
Right. There you go.
Yeah.
God. Then we'll make them take the statues of each other down.
Yeah. It'll be like great.
So who's the principal songwriter with you guys?
We work together. No, literally, every song is a joint production. Brian will often start with the music, and then he'll come to me, and I'll write words and melody. And sometimes it works vice versa. Sometimes I'll have an idea, and he will finish it off. But it really is. It's amazing how all through the years since 2011 that has worked pretty well. And we work pretty quickly, and we put out a lot of records in a six-year span. But yeah, we work together. It really is. They're Johnson & Johnson, which is actually in New Brunswick, but we are not related to anyone in the Johnson & Johnson family. But our songwriting credits are Johnson & Johnson. It's like the Lennon and McCartney of New Brunswick.
I don't think anyone actually thought we were.
Related to the Johnson family?
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
you never know. There's a car dealership in this area, Coleman Buick, Coleman GMs. It's all owned by the Coleman family. And people ask me all the time, are you related to the car dealer? I'm like, have you seen my car?
Do you ever say yes and confuse them?
No, what I used to say sometimes, honestly, Brian, I'd say, no, not them. I'm related to that much smaller company that makes the coolers.
But we're the only Johnsons from the New Brunswick area that aren't related to the Johnson family, so we don't own the Jets, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, so maybe. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite football team?
We're not big football fans, but we root for the Giants. My dad is a huge Giants fan. Lindsay is a big Giants fan. We're big Mets fans.
I liked Lindsay until that.
Are you a Jets fan?
No.
For Eagles?
No. My two favorite teams are Miami and whoever's playing the Giants in Dallas.
No, but we're diehard Mets fans, which is unfortunate.
And the Knicks, unfortunately,
which is where the Clyde Frazier name comes from.
I have suffered with the Phillies my entire life. And I'm really suffering this year, man.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Rebuilding year.
Although that kid, Reese Hoskins,
have 11 home runs,
he hit another home run today.
Yeah.
Five straight games, well, got 11 home runs and like 65 at-bats or something.
It worked for Aaron Judge, so.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, were you guys? Did you guys like sports? You play sports?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Brian is a state champion volleyball player.
No way.
That is a true story. He was on
play much anymore, but yeah.
Two state championship volleyball teams at East Brunswick High School.
And Andrew Abasis was kind of a rival of mine.
Yeah, he played for South Brunswick High School.
That's how we kind of met, yeah.
And I played varsity baseball for East Brunswick High School.
He's being nice to himself.
Yeah, I mean, I was not a great varsity. He was a very good varsity volleyball player. I was a mediocre varsity baseball player.
How'd you get into volleyball? Gym class? You just kind of liked it or what?
Yeah, I wasn't playing much on the basketball team, and the coach said, why don't you try volleyball? It's as simple as that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's really, you weren't playing much? I mean, you're like 7'12".
I know. But back then, I was like 150 pounds and got knocked over easily.
Oh, okay.
He had a pretty good jump shot, though.
So they say.
Who was they? Who was saying that?
Yeah. Basically, you.
Did you ever wonder that? Who
is they?
Well, they say it's going to rain. Well, who the heck is they? No, I lost the thought train, got derailed again, Callan. Again, 609-460-4673. If you want to give us a call this evening, please do so. Everybody who calls will be registered for the meet and greet with Paul Nelson and the Johnny Winter All-Star Band at World Cafe Live in Philadelphia on September 9th. And you'll get in the entire catalog of the Clydes. Well, you know what? We're going to have to go to break shortly. But before we do that, I want to go back to the email. And you sent me a couple of things that are world premieres.
They are. No one outside of our band or our record label have heard them.
Okay. And I want to do one of those right now before we go to break. And then we'll go to break and come back and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of this conversation.
Absolutely.
How's that? Which one would you like me to play here?
Brian, what do you say?
Holly Speaks.
Let's do Holly Speaks. It's going to be the first single from the new album I'm in 400 Records.
Okay. Holly Speaks. There we go. I have to plug that in, John. Hold on. Sorry. There you go. Sorry about that. I forgot to unplug it. I didn't realize you had it queued up already. All right. This is you want to talk about it?
Sure. It's going to be the first, as I said, the first single on the new album that comes out in October. It's a song about expectations and not living up to them and things like that.
Oh, I'm good at that.
Yeah. but wanting to live.
Okay. This is a song called Holly Speaks off their new record, The Clydes.
Watch it. Deirdre Anderson with Delish Catering.
And I'm Laura Mangone from Chamber Swap Cafe and Catering.
And we'd like you to join us on Food for Thought, where what do we talk about, Laura? We talk about restaurants. We talk about
pet
recipes.
Pet peeves.
Bitchy hostesses.
All sorts of food-related items.
All sorts of food stuff, and sometimes not so much food stuff. We go off on segues, but we have a lot of fun, don't we?
Absolutely.
So join us on Food for Thought.
PANJRadio.com, 1 o'clock weekdays.
PANJ Radio serves the Delaware River towns of Lambertville, New Jersey, and New Hope, Pennsylvania, as well as surrounding counties Bucks, Hunterdon, and Mercer. Now, there's a great new app for your smartphone to help you get the best deals in Lambertville and New Hope, including restaurant discounts, plus a handy directory of everything happening here, a calendar of events like live musical performances and gallery openings, and listings on everything from where to get the best pizza to the best parking spot. You can download the app for free in no time by searching for Lambertville New Hope on your smartphone's app page. But there's more. Got a business you'd like advertised on the app? Have we got a deal for you? Just go to lnhapp.com, click Choose Your Plan, then submit coupon code PANJRADIO. Our code will save you the $39.99 setup charge. Once again, go to www.lnhapp.com and click the Choose Your Plan, then add the coupon code PANJRADIO to save the $39.99 setup charge on your business listing. The cost to promote your business on the LNH app is just $9.99 per month or $100 for the entire year. And remember, downloading and using the app is absolutely free. And by using the PANJ Radio code, you pay no setup charge. It's our way of thanking you for listening to PANJ Radio, your Delaware River Town's community radio station.
All right. Welcome back to Rock on Radio. My guests tonight are the Clydes. Here, oh, we have a phone call. We have our first registered contestant. Sorry, that was my AM radio announcer's voice. Right. Okay. Hello, welcome to Rock on Radio. Who is this?
Hi, good evening. My name is Chris.
Chris, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
We are fantastic. You are familiar with the Clydes, I'm guessing?
Yes, I am.
Okay, do you have a question or do you want to talk to them about something? Let me hear it.
I'm calling in to show my support. I went to school with Brian and Brent, and my family and I have become big Clydes fans. We bring the whole clan out to the Wonder Bar. We've been to Stone Pony, all the New Brunswick places. I just wanted to give a call and let them know that we're listening in. Brent also just got engaged.
That is fabulous. That is fabulous. And what was that last part he just said?
Lindsay and I got engaged yesterday.
Okay. Yesterday. That's right. Yeah. Congratulations are in order there. See? Congratulations. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris is another world premiere. That's right.
Chris's mom is also the biggest Clydes fan in the world. She's been to, like, the majority of Clydes shows. It's amazing. She's, like, the biggest Clydes group.
So am I to assume he has your music?
I don't know if he has all our music.
He actually has a poster signed in his room.
Is that true?
Of us, yeah.
I do have the poster in my living room.
Nice. Do you have their music?
I have most of it, yeah.
Well, okay, there's only three, so which one's is that?
If you need copies, we'll send them to you, Chris.
Would you?
Sounds great.
Fantastic. All right, good. We'll work that out. That's right. All right, Chris, would you like to be registered for the meet and greet in Philadelphia?
That sounds great.
Okay. What I need, do you know where he resides or no?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
He's in the ether, but we'll ground him.
Well, he can, Chris, if you want to send me an email, rockonradio1460@hotmail.com, and I will register you for the... For the meet and greet, just need your name, your full name.
What is the 1460 stand?
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, fantastic.
Thanks, Chris.
I appreciate it, gentlemen. Have a good evening.
You too. Thanks for calling. Rock on.
What does 1460 mean? Are those call numbers?
They were.
They were.
He is snickering because he... Go ahead, Callan. You can tell the story.
Danny at one time was an AM radio guy.
Really?
Wow.
Where was 1460?
Don't overwhelm me with details.
But you tell the story.
I started... This show began on terrestrial radio.
Okay.
And it began on AM radio, actually. WIFI 1460 AM.
Where was that?
It's in Burlington County.
My father and Brian's father for years was on 1450 AM in New Brunswick.
Oh, no kidding.
WCTC.
CTC. Where?
Yeah, my dad. Really, my dad is Bruce Johnson, who was the program director of CTC and the voice of Rutgers Sports.
Oh, no kidding.
So we grew up in a radio family. In fact, I thought I was going to go into radio first, and then I realized I couldn't keep up with all the talking. And he would tell me, Brian would say, I shouldn't talk much at all. So.
A good friend of mine, actually, not a good friend. Let me backtrack there. A friend of mine, a very good acquaintance, how's that, told me one time, she said, Danny getting it, and she's a radio personality. She said, Danny, getting into radio right now is akin to being a candle maker when electricity was put in homes.
But everyone likes candles.
Right? Yeah. But now they're more decorative and mood setting.
But school closings, that is a huge thing for
then,
Yeah. I remember being a kid huddled in front of the radio listening, you know? And with AM, it was always tough because, you know, you'd hear it one minute, the next minute it was crackling and cutting out.
That's the charm of it.
In the bad weather, right?
Don't drive under a bridge.
Well, that's what I said to Tom. I couldn't do it anymore. I got to stop talking every time I went under a bridge. Every time there was a thunderstorm, I'd get like, you know, but... well, how about that?
There's still a thrill, though, about radio that I don't know if a lot of really young musicians understand. There's still a thrill to hear your music get played on the radio and to know that it is being broadcast over some sort of airwave.
That is why this show exists.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's why I...
It's great.
I did it. Because I was 16 when I... Or 15 when I first... No, 16. When I first heard myself on the radio.
Yeah.
And I remember it was on WPST, too. I remember the thrill. You know, I got chills. And I was like, holy cow, that's me. There could be like millions of people listening right now.
Yeah. Yeah. These guys don't know who PST is.
Oh, was out of Princeton?
It's still a viable radio station.
Well, yeah, it's Trenton, though, isn't it?
It's Trenton.
Yeah, it goes all over the state pretty much, WPST.
Yeah.
It's a dinosaur. Up in that area, it's mostly New York stations.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, New Jersey 101.5 goes all over the state.
Yeah. No, you can get PST up their way, but it's not, you know, very listened to.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I feel like it's the PLJ of the southern part of the state.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, when I was a kid, it was a rock station.
Yeah.
And then became like rock and pop.
Yeah.
Remember?
And then top 40.
Now it's all top 40 garbage. But, so, you know, it's, I remember that, and I remember thinking, wow, what a thrill, you know? And I wanted the opportunity to give that to other musicians and bands. But the thing that I find funny, like I went strictly internet radio about 5.5 years ago. And I did that because I figured nobody's listening to me on AM radio. You know, they're all listening to me on their laptops anyway. What's the difference? You know?
Yeah.
And I hesitated to leave right after I was asked to, which is a whole other story in itself. Darn Christmas party. The station used to be a gospel station, you know, and a fellow bought it out along with a couple other AM stations in the area, one down in Cape May and one in Harrisburg or something further west. And he turned it into a free format type of radio. Well, after a year of being there, the program director left, and we went a year without a program director, and then we finally got another program director, and he promptly told me that I could no longer hold my Christmas show. And I said, well, I'll be talking to John Forsythe about that. And he says, go ahead, John's the one that told me to tell you. I was like, oh, man. I mean, they accused me of, like, sacrificing goats and virgins and all kinds of fun stuff, you know. And drugs and alcohol. I mean, kids were at this party, right? How, yeah. So
there was alcohol.
Well, yeah, there was. There were lots of alcohol.
Were there goats, though?
No one will ever say for sure. There's a lot of farm. I'll just say there's a lot of farmland down where that station was. Sure. It's Burlington County. I think the Jersey Devil even made it from the Pines. But we had a good time. Nobody got hurt. The cops were never. No need to call the cops. You know, everybody was.
And it was clean.
And it was clean. That's right. 3 hours of. Just playing Christmas tunes, original Christmas tunes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and artists coming and going, sitting down, chit-chatting.
Were there that many original Christmas tunes?
Yeah. You know what is really tough to do? Writing an original Christmas tune. The two hardest things to write, writing a love song that doesn't sound cheesy and writing a Christmas song that is not terrible.
That's not terrible.
It's
right?
A really big challenge.
We once wrote a Christmas song and it sounded more like The Cure doing Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, which I guess would be a decent album, yeah. Like The Cure doing Christmas.
The Cure does Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a plethora.
I'm sure there's good ones. It's just really tough to do.
Yeah. And yeah. I've got a whole bunch of different original tunes. Plus, some of the artists that were there went out in the main studio and they collaborate and they'll get together and they'll say, and that's how the girl band was formed, actually. I had three females who had never met each other before, and they came in and they kind of hit it off as they were talking at the party, and they decided they wanted to do a version of Silent Night.
Mm-hmm.
They sat down and did it a cappella, and just the harmonies that they worked out in about 15 minutes, it was one of those things that brought tears to your eyes, you know. But that was the kind of stuff that went on at the Christmas. That goes on every year at the Christmas Spectacular, you know. And so I was asked to leave, and I thought, you know, but if I leave AM radio, I kind of lose a little bit of legitimacy because it's terrestrial, even if it is only AM. And sure enough, I lost big time. Oh, you're on the internet? Oh, you know, there are bands that will blast that they are going to be on The Rat or on RSU at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning. They're going to play our material and they will blast it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram for weeks leading up to when they're going to be on this person's show. For, you know, one song or for 10 minutes, I give them 2 hours. I can't get them to even, you know, promote their appearance on this program. I mean, you guys did, yeah. Macon did, you know, but the majority of the—well, it's on the internet radio.
Well, this is a weird thing to be in music or any media today. It's just to watch, because we knew it in a different era just a few years ago to what it is now, and it's just—it's a strange time to follow music and media, right? Because everything's changing, and we know it's going somewhere. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
and even if you're a local musician, they want you to be a cover band at a lot of places.
Yeah.
We've played plenty of shows where people come up and ask us to play, you know, American Girl. And we're just like, yeah, we're not really doing it.
It's tough to be an original artist today. Yeah. It really is, because the venues are few and far between.
Yeah.
Down in Trenton, we only had one or two, and one of them's gone.
Yeah.
Right? Cedar Gardens, you know, it's
for
gone.
All intents and purposes, it's shut down, yeah.
Yeah. So there's nowhere to ply your original material. There's a few coffee houses, but, you know, it's transient, you know?
And it's interesting trying to get noticed on something like YouTube where you may do a cover of another band's song and that could get a few thousand hits, but there's nothing to guarantee that that person's then going to go listen to your original music who views that. Or, you know, sometimes it's a crapshoot. You don't know whether anyone's going to pick it up. But, I mean, the label we're on, Min 400, is actually really great because they value songwriting and they value artists. They're a North Jersey label.
Yeah, tell me about this.
Yeah, Min 400. It's run by a guy named Neil Sabatino. He's the leader of a band.
Fairmont,
which is a band up in North Jersey. And he really respects his artists. He has a great roster of artists. We're going to be playing in Baltimore in a few weeks with another band from the label named Underline Passages. And this new album we have coming out in October, this is our second album with the label. We had one come out last year. And they care about original artists and care about songwriting. And it's good to see that there are still labels and people out there that care about those kind of things that they will try and foster you.
How'd you hook up with them?
We made two independent albums, and we thought they were pretty good, and we sent them around. And a few labels got interested, and Neil was the one we liked the most. He he seemed interested in the songs and said, you know, this should be on our label. And then he said, I will work hand in hand with you to make the next album. And here we are. And we've only gotten better under their tutelage.
Yeah, he's very hands-on, which I guess some artists might not like. But at the same time, we love it because, you know, it shows that he cares about it. And he's putting his heart into it also.
And the only real way to really stretch as an artist is to have someone challenge you and tell you that's not good, or this is good, or do more of that, or don't do that. You want to trust your artistic instinct and everything, but it also helps to be edited. You know, very few people are Prince and can just do everything by themselves and it'd be perfect.
No, so he's like your producer.
He produced the new album. Yeah.
Okay.
Now you say North Jersey. That's a transient line.
He's up in Hawthorne.
He's in Hawthorne, New Jersey.
Okay. All right, that is north. Because there's only two parts of this state, apparently. There's Central Jersey, which encompasses like from Weehawken all the way down to Cherry Hill.
I've always thought of Central Jersey. This is a big, and because Brian and I went to Rutgers, and that's a big, when we got there, it was funny, people from the south part would say, we're going to the city this weekend. And we'd be like, oh, where in New York are you going to? And they're like, no, we're going to Philly.
Right.
And that was so foreign to people like us, because the city is New York. And then what you really learn, North Jersey is everything up until Linden. And then Linden to Trenton is Central Jersey. And then you have South Jersey below that. And then there's the shore, which is a whole other thing. Well, it's like the fourth region.
Well, most people down here don't even think Central Jersey exists.
Yeah, right? A lot of people are like, there is no Central Jersey.
No, what I always have this debate, this debate with people, you know, because if you look at a map and you look at Trenton, Trenton is right there, smack in the middle of New Jersey. Exactly. And then, you know, to me, Central Jersey was always, you know, Mercer. And like up
Middlesex,
Hunterdon, Middlesex, you know, all the way over that swath that goes right out to, I guess, what would be Point Pleasant or Belmont,
County.
We've always considered ourselves central,
right. And I would thought anything above like exit 8A on the turnpike, now you're hitting North Jersey, New Brunswick,
pretty true.
On and so forth.
Yeah, New Brunswick was always the dividing line.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair.
New Brunswick circle, anything below that was South Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Burlington County and South was South Jersey.
And it's really whoever roots for the Yankees and whoever roots for the Phillies.
Well, you see, we have a huge problem here in this area because you've got a mix of both.
Oh, really? A few Yankee fans?
Oh, a lot of Yankee fans. Chambersburg, when it was all ethnic Italians, it was nothing but Yankees, 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 Yankees.
Yeah.
You know. And you mentioned the Phillies. I was the laughing stock of the neighborhood for years till 1980.
Yeah, 1980 changed everything.
We still don't like Chase Utley.
Well, Chase Utley doesn't mix well with Mets fans.
No, I know.
But
I've had that discussion on here too.
Yeah,
you know. But every one of you Mets fans would take them on your team in a heartbeat, though.
But right now we don't have much.
I always noticed the big difference between Mets and Phillies fans is there's a similar line of
misery,
but Mets fans seem to have more self-loathing. I find Phillies fans are more
Passionate. Proud to be Phillies fans.
They're proud to be Phillies. Mets fans are like, oh, we're Mets fans.
You know, because like, if we lose, we have to hear from the Yankees.
And you know, we're never excited about anything. We're just not that good. As you know, even if you're in the World Series, all of us knew in 2015 we were going to lose the Royals. Like, just, this is the way it was.
Well, yeah, you know.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
although that 1986 Met team,
they were pretty good.
Boston was probably one of the greatest teams to ever play the sport of Major League Baseball.
And they should have been much better than they were.
What were they like 112 and 50 or something?
They were pretty good.
They were like they ripped.
But they should have been a dynasty, and they were not.
But half of them did massive amounts of cocaine.
Yeah, between Keith, Darryl, and Dwight, they were
it's a hell of a drug.
If you're just tuning in, this is Rock On Radio. This is not the Strike Zone with Jack Furlong. my guests tonight are the Clydes. If you want to give us a call, please do so. 609-460-4673, and we'll register you for the meet and greet, like Chris, and we will give you a collection of the Clydes, their entire catalog here. You guys want to do a tune for us?
Sure, yeah.
What you want to do?
I'm going to do a song called Never Swim. It's another one that's coming up on the album that'll be released in October.
Okay.
So,
Daddy, please, I'm not crying on my knees, but I never will. And on my plans, I'm only lying. And if I say I never will, Daddy, please, I'm not giving from what you see or on a whim. And on my knees, I'm only living, never see, never swim. Let me go.
Brent and Brian.
Thanks.
That's nice, man. I like that.
Thanks.
Good stuff. Powerful voice.
Thank you.
Powerful voice. Very nice. So who's the principal songwriter?
As I said earlier, we write all those together. That was a song we actually worked out as a band. That's a hard thing to do when you get in a room with four people and everybody throws out an idea. Usually Brian and I will write a song together and bring it into the band. But sometimes things come from a jam. But jams are a lot harder to write because everybody throws in ideas and sometimes they don't formulate and sometimes they never go anywhere. But that was one time we all sat in a room and all threw out ideas and a song came out of it. But usually Brian and I write together. Okay. That's usually what we do.
Then you take it to the band and say,
hey. You take it to the band and say, here, this is the song, like I imagine. Tom Petty does pretty quickly.
We think if it doesn't work quickly, sometimes we can become forced.
I think Elton John once said, like, if a song doesn't work in 10 minutes, then it's probably not going to work. But, you know, some Brian Wilson labored on Good Vibrations for 6 months, so.
True.
Who knows?
Very true. Well, most people that come through here say that their best material was written within 15 to 20 minutes.
That's pretty true. If something immediately grabs you, that's the idea. If it hits you in the face and you go, wow, that's pretty good, if you have to labor over it, it might end up being something, but it's probably not as good as something that hits you immediately.
Okay. You know what, Brian, since you walked in here, I've been looking at you and I'm thinking to myself, you look very familiar to me.
Is this true?
It's very true.
He's lying.
I have this impression sometimes.
No, I'm serious. I'm from somewhere. I've seen you before. I know you. Did you ever do anything solo? What other bands were you in?
Just with him. I do a lot of like ambient work on my own, but
Brian writes a lot of like film score stuff, and He writes very ambient. He's a big Brian Eno fan. So, Brian, you should check out Brian's stuff on YouTube. He does solo stuff, really cool ambient stuff. We were in a band called Rest Assured in college. We played the Rutgers scene. But the Clydes has been, since 2011, this has been our one thing. I mean, some people think Brian looks like Aaron Carter.
That
was when he was younger.
When my daughter was four, we took her to Universal Studios.
Mm-hmm.
And four or five, and Aaron Carter was there that day. And
did she flip or
we run? My ex-wife and I bribed the guy at the door. Come on, let us in. He let us in.
Really? Was he nice?
She got to meet him. He was a nice kid. You know, I think he was like 12 at the time, 11 or 12, whatever he was when he started.
Well, this is a true story. At the Seville Diner in East Brunswick, New Jersey, where we grew up, this waitress, like 10 years ago, came over to Brian and was like, my daughter loves Aaron Carter, and I bet she would love to meet you.
Yeah, she gave me her number. I never called because I thought it was crazy.
It was like, my daughter finds Aaron Carter attractive. You should date my daughter. It's a true story.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, you look like a country music guitarist.
See, Callan, that's the difference between youth and experience right there. I would have been like, you got a cell phone? Let me borrow it. I don't care if you have only one leg. I like you. Oh, geez. Lindsay, you didn't hear that. Are you still there, Lindsay? Okay, good. Good. Our studio audience has not left. So... where the heck was I going with this?
You thought Brian was.
You thought Brian was Aaron Carter.
Oh, I thought.
Even though
I grew up with him. Yeah,
I guess.
He also looks like a like power forward on the University of Utah basketball team.
Yeah, kind of. So. He does. I think it's the hair.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, it's all right.
But you know,
I'm very sensitive about hair, Brian.
Is this true?
Yeah, I have none. That's right. Yeah, well, my scalp is very touchy. So now you have this whole catalog of discs here. You have this EP.
This one's called Lucid Garden. This was an EP we just put out a few months ago. It was kind of like a stopgag, like a holding process until the full album came on. And then we have an album called Come Back Charlie, which was the first I'm in 400. That's an EP. It was the first release I'm in 400. That's been played, on the radio all over the place. And then the one before that is called Hiding from the Summer.
And that's an octopus attacking Atlantic City.
On the cover, yeah. We had our drummer's cousin is an artist, and we said, can you draw an octopus attacking Atlantic City? You can take that metaphor to mean whatever you want it to mean for that gambling mecca by the sea. But that's what he came back with, was an octopus attacking Atlantic City.
Well, they blew up the Chicken Man in Philly last night.
And there's a song on that album that Brian wrote called The Lungs of Philadelphia.
I see that.
Which is ambient, but with dialogue from the film Atlantic City.
Okay.
With Susan Sarandon and Burt Lancaster.
So the great Burt Lancaster there.
So it's a whole concept, that whole album. That whole album is about destruction.
Okay, nice. Yeah. We can never have enough of that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Tear it down and start over. Yeah. That's what I say. So you have one full length.
One full length and three EPs. And the one before that, which is underneath that, is Generator. That was our first record. And that the cover of that is the Asbury Park Boardwalk. Have you ever seen the multicolored...
many people confuse it with some like communist propaganda.
Yeah, it was not communist. Nor were we predicting anything about the 2016 election.
Asbury Park Boardwalk, where?
You ever see the... They're like the places that serve food along the boardwalk, like the metal containers where they have food, that's one of the metal containers that sells beach badges.
It's white and red.
We were literally just taking band photos in Asbury Park, and we were standing alongside this metal container, and we saw the shadows. And our photographer, Bill, was like, that'd make a cool cover. And then we got told it was Russian. It looked like Russian propaganda. That's only a good thing.
You at Svetlana?
Yeah, maybe.
That's Svetlana why we opened the show. No wonder why she wanted to record that.
I know. That album would have been prescient if it came out, like, 10 months ago.
So you know Moose and Squirrel.
Yes, we do know Moose and Squirrel.
Wow.
So this is our second full-length album is the one that's going to come out in October. Our first full-length came out a few years ago.
Nice. All right, well, you know what? We have to go to our second break of the evening, and then we come back, and you've still got another hour of torture.
Absolutely. So we're excited.
We'll be back to torture you more for an hour. And this is Rock on Radio. I'm Danny Coleman. My guests tonight are the Clydes. Give us a call, 609-460-4673. Register for the meet. John, there you go. Register for the meet and greet. And we'll give you something.
Business only gets one chance to make a first impression. That's why Green Birdie Productions offers free re-edits on every high-definition video we create. Our Emmy Award-winning staff and green screen special effects studio guarantee the quality we strive for. It's no wonder most of our business comes from referrals. Green Birdie Productions. Compelling video. Competitive price.
Hi, this is Thomas Johnston of White House Station, New Jersey, singer-songwriter of Irish Americana, and you're listening to PANJRadio.com in beautiful Lambertville, New Jersey, home of indie music, wonderful variety of shows, and great supporters of indie music throughout Hunterdon County and Pennsylvania.
Everybody, welcome back. For those of you who may have seen the show opening or caught the Rock on Fire pit last night, I'm dedicating last night, today, and tomorrow night on One More with Danny Coleman. When we'll do this all over again with these guys, live from Monmouth Music in Red Bank, New Jersey, on the Carousel Arts YouTube channel. One More with Danny Coleman. But I just, those of you musicians who are listening in the area, Santa Ray's son posted a thing on Facebook where they will be celebrating Santa Ray's life this Friday at Colts Neck Inn Steak and Chop House, which is located on the corners of 537 and Route 34 in Colts Neck, New Jersey. It's a neat place, Colts Neck Inn Steak and Chop House, starting at 4 o'clock. In the afternoon, and if I know these people, they're going to be going all night. This one's organized by my good friends in Strawberry Pie. And then later on that night, the Moroccan Sheepherders are doing a tribute to Santa Ray at the Channel Club, which is in Seabright, I think. I'd have to look that up, but if you're listening, check that out. So more of tributes. The tributes have been overwhelming coming in for Santa Ray. So, all right, my guest tonight are two of the Clydes. And if you want to talk to them, please give us a call at 609-460-4673. We're here to discuss their participation in the Rock New Brunswick event. We're here to we will be interrogating. I think that's a better word. Interrogating. We'll be interrogating Lindsay soon to see why she chose to accept. We're going to put Brian and Brent on the spot. But I'm only teasing you, Lindsay. You right back there? Good. All right. She's smiling. We're good. I scared Trish and Sheila out. So, okay. Now, you guys... I'll tell you what, before we even talk about this anymore, why don't we do another tune?
Sure. Okay.
Do we go with the Other World premiere, or do you want to play live?
No, let's play. The Other World premiere is, you'll hear the studio version of the song we just played.
Oh, okay.
So why don't we do, we'll do another song from the album coming up. This is the opening track on the album. It's called Broken Boy.
Excellent.
One, two, three, four.
Thank you.
is broken, his strings are tied, he's left them open. Are you gonna run and hide? I cannot feel it, I am not here. Even if you feel like commandeer, I know when, you know where, you know where. The boy is broken, his strings are bound, he's left them open, lying there upon the ground. I cannot feel it, I cannot hide. Even if you feel it's suicide, I know when, you know when, you know when. Ah. Oh, I cannot feel it.
Thank you, John. John was so overwhelmed. He's sitting, he's looking at you guys, thinking, "Okay, is that a false ending, or what are we going to do here?" And he's like, "I want to clap." And
on the record, it's much more abrupt. The ending.
And I'm trying to talk.
I also had a frog in my throat at the end of that, and I think I ended like a tad too soon. And I know Brian will mention to me when we get in the car. He'll be like, "You know, you ended that song too."
Really,
soon.
That way, Brian?
Yes. Brian's a perfectionist.
I tried to explain this to somebody just the other night. Who the heck was it? About musicians. That, you know, you could sit out there and the people could be going crazy loving what you're doing. And, you know, on stage you're knowing that you're having a good night. But if there's one or two screw-ups, they're the things that are going to stick in
your
head.
You know when you're missing out, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And I knew immediately when I just did that. I was like, I ended that a bar too soon. And I doubt many people would notice it, but we do.
You know, one of the reasons why I love to perform with original artists is because nobody is expecting anything.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, you know, if you go to see a cover band and they play American Girl, let's say, you know, if you decide you want to cut out the midsection or you mess something up, people are going to, oh, wait, what happened? Oh, what happened there? You know, we do it with original music. It's like, oh, yeah, we meant to do that.
Yeah.
It's my song. I'll do whatever I want.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of it. What's that called? Poetic license? Justice?
Yeah, poetic license. And maybe poetic justice. It could be the same thing.
Yeah, it could be.
I once saw Kris Kristofferson in Princeton. And, you know, usually people, like, you fade out a song or, like, you play the guitar a little bit. He just stopped when he was done. Like, he played Me and Bobby McGee, and he was like, and that's the song. And you're like, whatever you want, because you're Kris Kristofferson.
But he's a highwayman. He can do what he wants.
That's true. He's one of the highwaymen.
Yeah.
So, gosh.
That was a great show, by the way. Kris,
was it? Where'd you see him?
Princeton. That was like 8 years ago.
Where?
At MacArthur. He did a
rare... Oh, MacArthur Theater?
Yeah. He, I mean, one of the great songwriters. And we just went to Nashville, Brian and I.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, you were saying
we
that.
We were enamored with how small little Jimmy Dickens really was. Like, we saw a statue of him, and I was about like 2 feet taller than him.
Dude, but, you're 2 feet taller than me.
It's funny when we talk about like the New
and
Brunswick.
And I'm sitting down.
When you talk about the New Brunswick scene or the Asbury Park scene, Nashville is unlike anything that rock music has because it's all concentrated in one area. Meaning you walk down Broadway and every live venue is playing live country music. Some are cover bands, some are original. But like, I don't think there's something like that in rock where every place you walk by has live music. And you have to really like country music to be there. You have to look few and far between to find the rock bands. But it's a wonderful place. There are some. I mean, like Kings of Leon's from there. But yeah, I mean, it's an amazing, it's its own singular place. There's nowhere else.
What
like
took you guys to Nashville?
We wanted to see the music scene and to
And I also wanted to see a lot of. I like vintage guitars, so
okay.
I went
a lot of great records,
three or four
great,
different shops,
and guitar shops.
They almost kicked us out of a few, I think.
And what's interesting, one of the guitar shops, what is it, Groon Guitars, yeah. has a like Vince Gill, who is like the Jesus of country music down there. Like it used to be like Hank Williams, and now it's Vince Gill is like the
cat can play though.
Yeah, I mean the cat can play, but so you go in there and they have this like Vince Gill owned this guitar.
It's $28,000.
So, but it was like it's
a 61 Strat. They have, and they let you pick shops it up, like which that. Is cool.
It's just a great, it's a really great, and we went to Jack White's record shop, which is among the stranger places I've ever been in my life.
You put a quarter in a machine and monkeys play instruments.
Yeah, the Jack White of the White Stripes owns a very small record shop on the outskirts of Nashville.
Wow.
It's called Third Man Records, and it's really among cool. the most surreal places I've ever been to in my life.
Why is that?
It's strange. You can make your own 33-second album, like a song, like, and they put it on wax when you're, you can go in with a guitar in this little booth and play your 33-second song. They have this machine.
You bring guitars and everything. If you
they
want.
Have this
cool.
machine where monkeys, like mechanical monkeys, just play cymbals, and they have all these weird records. And you know, you no one feels cool enough to be in there. Like it's one of those places where you walk into, you like, you know, Johnny Cash could walk in here and he would not understand it. So it's just, but Nashville's a really great magical place. It's you kind of wish there was something, there was some place in rock where you could walk by and every venue have live rock band. You know, I highly recommend anybody who gets the chance to go to Nashville to go. There, that's my pitch for Nashville. So the Greater Nashville Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce, call me right? later. You know, it's fun. I've heard that from many, many yeah. people. And I've actually got a couple of friends that live there. They moved from here down to there, you know. And I've never been, actually. Not that I don't want to go. It just hasn't. You know, the planets haven't aligned, so
it's a little
I can do
far.
So.
It's like an 11-hour drive, and it's yeah. a two-hour flight.
Right.
We didn't get the.
Well, you're in a different time zone,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
We didn't get the Dollywood, though.
No?
No.
No, it was, you know, I feel like that's an experience in itself.
Dollywood?
Yeah.
It's in a different time zone, even. It's on the other side of Tennessee.
Did any Eastern?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not
close to North right. Carolina.
But she wrote Jolene, so she's allowed to do what she wants. So.
Wow, see. True.
Yeah.
Actually, didn't that. Didn't Dollywood. During those fires? It
yeah.
almost,
a lot was yeah. lost.
How about that?
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, this is Rock on Radio. I'm Danny Coleman. My guests are Brian and Brent of the Clydes. I have the M-Cube here in studio. Engineer John. Marianne is under the weather. She will be back as soon as humanly possible. You guys want to do another tune?
Sure.
Why not, right?
You want to play?
Play another song.
You want to do Don't Say?
Sure. We're going to play an oldie but a goodie.
Okay.
We're going to
They're
play,
all good.
Thank you. We're going to play a song that was on our last... It was on the last EP. And then if we play another one before, we'll play one that was just on the new EP that just came out. So this is our most country song. We're keeping in theme with...
In a Nashville
conversation. This is if Elliott Smith or Cat Stevens decided to write a country song.
Cat Stevens.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. One, two, three, four. Hold on. My capo's acting up. I got it, sorry. One, two, three, four. Don't say you're my girl in the whole wide world. I'll be gone. I'll be gone for a while. Don't say what you want. You can act as you want. You have eaten my heart, as you've done from the start. I'll be gone for a night. I'll be gone for a while. Don't sound the alarm. Stand by your charm. You live on your own in a fantasy world. Now I'm coming home, despite what is in your arms. Mm-hmm.
don't say you're my girl. In the whole wide world, I'll be gone for a while. I'll be gone for a night. Don't sound the alarms, I don't mean any harm. You live alone in a fantasy world. Now I'm coming home to lie down inside your arms. You've been locked in my heart, crying all the time, but it isn't your fault tonight. I'll be gone for a night. I'll be gone for a night. I'll be gone.
Very nice. Very nice. Like, nice slide work.
Thank you.
Nice
Thank you.
Touch.
Brian's
there.
A killer guitar player.
That's very cool. How long have you been playing guitar, Brian?
Since fifth grade?
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Okay. And you?
Probably a little bit before that. I took piano first because, like I said, I really wanted to be Billy Joel. Billy Joel was my hero.
Okay.
And then
I
discovered the Beatles, and that's when I took guitar. So I was seven when I took piano and like 9 or 10 when I took guitar.
I actually quit guitar lessons after like half a year because I didn't like it. And Brent kind of taught me the basics.
And you just took off from there.
And
I just
became a much better guitar player than I am. But I'm better looking.
But to be fair, I think I actually kind of worked rhythmically, though, just because I kind of learned the rhythm stuff from early. So I think no matter what, it kind of worked out.
But who are your favorite guitar players?
Johnny Marr of the Smiths is my favorite. I like John Frusciante, Chili Peppers.
Okay.
Mick Ronson, who played with Bowie.
Lindsey Buckingham.
Lindsey Buckingham. Yeah, there's too many mentions.
Johnny Greenwood.
You know who sat down with me to talk to me one time, speaking of David Bowie?
Who's that?
Earl Slick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were doing this broadcast in this event called Rock the Farm, and it was an all-day thing. Artemis Pyle, he was the headliner. His band, Artemis Pyle, from Lynyrd Skynyrd, from Lynyrd Skynyrd. His band was there. Vinnie Lopez was there. Matt O'Ree was there. God, who else? We're sure, there were so many that were there, and all these like different people started showing. Earl Slick showed up. he comes over and he's like, "Well, what is this, a radio show?" And we're like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Oh, you want to talk to us? Sure, I'll talk to you." And I'm like, "All right." He says, "What are the rules?" I said, "Well, the rules are I'm not going to talk about religion or politics, and I'm not going to use foul language." Okay, okay. So, hey, you got Earl Slick sitting down with us. First thing out of his mouth, "How the are you guys? Everybody effing listening?" I was like, "Oh, Jesus."
Did he just forget or did he do it on purpose?
He did it on purpose.
I think he wanted to know what the rules were to break them.
To break them, correct. Yeah. You know.
We're not as cool as that. So
but he actually, man, he showed up that day. He actually made Keith Richards look, you know, like you guys, youthful. Yeah. But, yeah, it was a fun day. With that, so you have three EPs,
the 5 or 6 songs about each,
and the new one,
the one coming up, and the most recent one's a 4-song EP,
right.
That's called Lucid Garden, and then the one coming up in October is a full length, is a 10-song album.
Oh, good.
We made one of the ones is 13 songs, which is probably like too many.
I think
if we could take a few songs off that one, we would.
Well,
sometimes you do that. Hey. Sometimes you can't say no to a song. It's like, I don't know how to break up with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Commitment. That says something. Lindsay, yeah. Commitment. You hear that? That's good. Commitment. All right. Yeah. Good. I as a radio guy, I get CDs in the mail all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have a P.O. box, and the post office must hate me because they constantly have to leave that little key in there or the yellow slip. You know, I have a P.O. box because I'm not able to get to the post office between 9 and 5, you know? So, you know, so don't complain when I have stuff shoved in. Give me a bigger box, you know?
Yeah.
I'm paying for it, right? So, anyway, I got a disc from a guy the other day who's going to, a future guest, And I didn't even look at it. I just put it in the hard drive, and I was like, okay, because I was putting together songs for a fire pit that I did last night. And it comes up in the track listing. I said, what am I, in my iTunes? There's 30 songs on this disc. 30.
That only works for the White
Single
Album.
Disc.
And even that.
Single disc. Yeah, 30 songs. And they range anywhere from a minute six to 3:48.
Wow.
All the songs are like 2.5 minutes long. And I'm like, wow, I didn't see this coming. Eh. You know.
Well, it's a very weird time to be in music because we print records and we sell them at shows, but it's a bit different. So EPs make sense because you're putting out a small amount of music and you can put out more music that time. But we wanted to make a full-length album. We wanted to make a cohesive set of songs for the new one.
Now, I've heard from many people that they put out, including Callan. It's one of the things that Ann Wilson said to me. Ann Wilson of Heart.
Yeah.
Before that show that we covered, right? She says to me, I figured I'd make an EP because I'd rather do 3 or 4 really good songs instead of 12 or 13 and only have 3 or 4 be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know, plus things are just different today. And yeah. I've heard this from so many people, ranging from 18-year-old high school kids that have been in here to Ann Wilson. Because people's attention span is just not what it used to be.
Huh? Yeah. They'll like you for 2 songs, maybe you're not 10.
And it's also hard to write 10 really good songs. I mean, we're really proud of this new album that we have coming out. Those are 10 really good songs. But you look back and how many great albums have all great 10 songs? It's tough to write Blonde on Blonde every time.
I'm also very curious, does everyone in the E Street Band love every song on Born to Run? You know, you always ask that question.
There's only, 8 songs on it?
You don't know.
More like, does everyone like every song on The River?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, because that should have been one album. With all due respect to Mr. Springsteen.
Yeah, we love Bruce, but yeah.
But, you know, no one needed Cadillac Ranch on a record.
Why not?
I don't know. But, I mean, it's
actually, know, it's that's not one of the,
okay, that's not a bad song.
So
I'll give you that. You know, I'm a Rocker or something. Yeah. But that's it. Was his artistic statement at the time. He wanted to do a 20-song album, which now would probably be on one disc. But, you look at there was the Beatles anthology back in the early 90s. They were talking about, maybe the White Album didn't need to be 30-something songs. And Paul McCartney shut everyone up and been like, but it's the bloody Beatles White Album. sometimes some things are just that good. So, yeah. Yeah. But it's also, it's hard to write that many good songs.
I know I've told this story on this show multiple times, but I was lucky enough to interview Martha Davis of the Motels right before they played Jenks last summer or the summer before, 2 years ago. Anyway, what a sweetheart Martha Davis is. I'm just telling the world right now, she's a sweetheart. And she said to me, she says, can you imagine, she said, digital downloads? She said, can you imagine somebody downloading only 1 or 2 songs off the White Album or like Sticky Fingers by the Stones? She said, if people are listening to my music and they're only downloading 1 or 2 songs,
like Only the Lonely or
she says, I need to make a better album.
Yeah.
And I like that for a couple of reasons. Number one, because she's owning up to the responsibility of, maybe I didn't put out a good product. Everybody should want to download every song on this disc. And then on the other hand, like I said last week on this program, and I saw this quote online, Steve Jobs ruined the music business. The ability to just pick and choose one song here, one song there. Even if you went to a record store and only bought 45s, like I did when I was a kid, you were still experiencing music in a different form.
What was interesting about the 60s, though, a great example is Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields were not on the White Album. Not on Sgt. Pepper, They were released as a single, and then you had to go buy the album and vice versa. And the 60s also had these great records being made. Pet Sounds came out months before Sgt. Pepper. But what's, I think, lacking in this music industry or currently is that you can have a great song that people will download one of those songs, but is that great album also being made at the same time? I don't know. There's a lot of great music being made today, but it's a different
world. Also, Prince predicted about 7 years ago, he says people don't appreciate what they don't pay for.
Yeah.
So everyone was critical of him with his stance on the internet and everything, but he made a lot of sense, actually.
Oh, I've actually encountered that because with this radio show, actually, back when I was an AM radio god. I figured you'd like that.
Anyway, oh, my God.
Back when I was on AM radio, you know, I had to sell advertising for the program, yeah. for the station. And, you know, when I went in there trying to, with AM radio rates, I was told, you know, no, it's AM radio. Okay. So you wind up undercutting the price to a ridiculous amount of money just so that you could sell something, you know, and it's to the point where it's like, okay, why don't I just give it to you, yeah. you know, and... You know, there's all kinds of debates that go on with that.
It's definitely, it's kind of like the news industry. Like, I don't think it's done changing, and I don't think the music industry is done changing. I think we are still in this motion going upwards, or, you know, we're still changing, and something new is going to come out of this. But I still feel it's kind of like a weird holding pattern right now. But who knows? We'll find out in a few years.
I think the music industry's lost. I do. I really do. I think it's lost.
People say the same thing about media. It's the same idea.
Yeah, you know? Same thing. Because, you know, FM stations are going under. The newspapers are razor thin now. You know, there's just media as a whole. If you can't walk around, and those of you can't see this at home, but I'm taking my phone and I'm scrolling. If you can't do this, people don't want to know it. You know, even tablets. Think about this. Your iPads and your Samsung tablets and things. You know, you see people here and there with them, but when they first came out, they were huge. Everybody wanted one. Now more people are doing... I see more people on their phones than anything else.
And music right now, also, anybody... You can find more music than ever, and anybody can upload a song onto YouTube, and there's a million places to find music. But what's different now compared to what was 20 years ago is there's nothing to weed out what's good and what's not.
It's oversaturated.
Yeah, it's oversaturated.
Yeah, there's... Yeah.
It's tough. It's a tough place to be in right now.
Right. If you're just tuning in, this is Rock on Radio. Hello, Rob. Rob is here, the owner of PANJ Radio, has shown up.
Hi, Rob.
This evening. Meet the Clydes, Brent and Brian.
Hey, nice meeting you.
Hey. Hi.
It's like meet the Fockers. Meet the Clydes. I'm just kind of confused about the whole thing because... You know, when I was a kid, you made a recording, and then you, of course, nobody had money, so you did it in your basement with a small TIAC reel-to-reel or maybe a cassette player where you had to push the two buttons down, you know, just so you could send something to a record company and hope they liked it. And you didn't know where to send it, so you sent it, and, you know, you put attention, like, big guy or something on there, you know, and, you know, hopefully they heard what you did and somebody would contact you. Of course, 99 times out of 100, that never happened, right. You know. And then now, it's just a point and click away.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you do that, you get the oversaturation because, you know, everybody has a recording studio in their basement. Everybody has, you know, Pro Tools or Perfect Pitch or Audio Voice, whatever the heck, you know, the different programs are. Anybody can make a record now.
Mm-hmm. Put online, yeah.
I'm not so sure that record companies ever knew what was good and bad. I saw a thing online the other day with Frank Zappa saying that those big old fat guys that were smoking cigars, they were the ones that need to come back to the record companies. Because they were the ones that would take a chance. They were the ones that would say, you know what, let's give this guy a shot because I think there's something there. Like now they're basically, you know, these gym rats that are physically fit and who, you know, it's all business. It's all number crunching. You know, they're all sterile. You know, everything is, you know, show me this. And the music reflects that. Music reflects that because, you know, there's no more mistakes in music. Everything is fixed. Everything is auto-corrected. Everything is, you know, there's no more digital tape where you can go back. All right, we got to re-record that, guys, and maybe get a different sound. Now it's, all right, wait, I can fix that. Point, click, drag, boom.
And I think that's the cool thing with actually Min 400 is even he had to convince me, Neil, at the label. So much of our early EPs, if you didn't get something, you just kept, you know, you kept recording it. And Neil encouraged us to leave some of the mistakes in at times. And
yes.
That's good.
Farmer, Don, is it Don Farmer? Grand Funk Railroad.
Yep.
Don Farmer, right? I interviewed him one time, and he said to me, he says, you know, I listen to my old music, and he says, you know what I like about it? There's mistakes. Music's too perfect today.
Yeah.
You know, but we got to take a break, John. we have to take a break real quick. We have to take a break, and we're going to come back with more Clyde's music and maybe continue that discussion, talk about Rock New Brunswick and the Scarlet Pub. And I've never been to the Scarlet Pub.
It's a very Rutgers place.
Okay. Oh, college kids.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. All right. Rock on Radio. We'll be right back. Stick with us.
Would you like to host your own show on PANJ Radio? For a limited time, we are offering potential hosts up to 3 minutes of revenue sharing on advertising that they solicit on their own show. That's immediately covering their monthly fee and has the upside potential to make you $200 a week as your audience grows. Your show can be about entertainment, sports, religion, politics, you name it. PANJ Radio broadcasts live out of Green Birdie Studios in Lambertville, New Jersey. We can record your show ahead of time or do it live. And we can take live phone calls, too. We can also travel to your place of business and record or go live with your radio show there. For more information, please contact Rob at panjradio.com or call 609-460-4550. We look forward to hearing from you on the air.
Hi, I'm Ron Granberg, founder of Clearwater Investment Management, a fee-only and independent registered investment advisory. Clearwater does not sell its own investment products and receives no compensation to recommend any product. Our only incentive is to generate great returns for you. As Clearwater's founder, I have nearly 2 decades of experience, at first as a security analyst, later promoted to portfolio manager overseeing $40 billion, and ultimately became the head of portfolio management at a large financial institution. But Wall Street wasn't right for me, too impersonal. That's why I started my own company. I'm a chartered financial analyst, the most difficult to get and most respected credential on Wall Street. Our minimum is $100,000. Call today and find out about Clearwater's personalized service and institutional quality advice. Consultations are free, and unlike the stodgy Wall Street concerns, I can visit you at your business. Reach out to me at 609-248-6065 or Ron@clearwaterinvest.com. I can't wait to make your portfolio the best it can be.
There we go. We're back. Rock on Radio. what happened there?
I got mad at it.
Oh, great. right? I'm sitting here tonight with the Clydes. Again, website, social media. Let's get it out there.
TheClydesMusic.com, and you can search for the Clydes on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. Yeah, you can find us all over the web. You search us. Again, we are not the bluegrass band from the South. Yeah, we are the rock band from Central New Jersey. We've already told them we had that name first, but they didn't seem to care.
They didn't care.
No,
I think.
So what is Southern about the I guess Bonnie and Clyde, but they didn't play bluegrass music. They just shot machine guns.
Yeah, and Rob Banks.
Yeah, so, I don't know. We swish and dish,
right? You guys like bluegrass music?
Sure. I mean,
respect
you know,
it. Yeah, for
yeah
sure.
We respect it, but you know,
there's some very talented players in bluegrass.
Oh, absolutely,
100%.
Okay, why don't you do more tunes for
sure.
us? We'll do some more music.
We're going to play the title track from the EP we just released, a song called Lucid Garden. If you go on our website, it's the album with the crushed strawberry on it. Or is it?
Thank you.
Sister singing in the sleep tell, saying nobody will have you.
Here on Rock On Radio. Nice stuff, guys.
Thank you.
I like
very
this
much.
Stuff. In fact, I really do. What made you put out the one disc on vinyl? The communist disc.
The communist. I like that. Yeah. Communist disc.
We love vinyl in general. We wish we could put out more. It's highly expensive.
Vinyl's expensive.
Yeah, that was our first
I can't
one.
We made that ourselves. The first two records we made ourselves, and then we got signed to the label and to Min 400 Records. And we financed that ourselves. We made the money back eventually by selling copies and promotion, but it's more than $1,000 to print 100 copies of vinyl.
Wow, $10 a pop.
Yeah, and you have to sell them for like 15 to make any money back.
And then you run into the fact that you're original artists and people don't like to buy what they don't know.
But
so
that sells better than CDs. People love vinyl. If we could make vinyl and guarantee we'd make money back on it, we would do it every time.
Well, I think people that go to original shows like the whole vinyl aspect.
Yeah, because a lot of them own hi-fis and, you know, they like their music. People that go to original music that's not on a major label.
They're usually
music
fans.
They're music fans. So.
Usually, yeah. Tom and I went to the M Cube and I went to a, when we went to the vault. Remember what Graham was talking about?
Yep.
Graham Alexander of the vault down in South Jersey, like Camden
Victor
County. We're in South Jersey now. Camden County, Victor,
real
RCA
South
Victor.
Jersey.
Yeah. You can see Philadelphia from there. Yeah. RCA Victor, him and a collaborative of guys bought the RCA Victor catalog.
Oh, really?
And
which started there.
Right.
In Camden, yeah.
The very first vinyl record ever pressed was at RCA Victor, right there by the BBT Center. And they bought the remaining catalog, and he was saying how this generation of children now and young adults, millennials, they've only known CDs. They don't know 45s. They don't know 8-tracks or cassettes. All they know are CDs and digital downloads. He said if music had book, the hard copy, you know, the original hard copy is great. And he said, like, if music had a hard copy like books do, it's the vinyl album. You could see it. You could touch it. You can, you know.
Yeah. And that's one thing why we continue to make hard copies. Besides the fact that when people go to shows, a lot of people who are at the shows don't want to be given a download card. Like, they want to be able to buy something or they want to be able to take something home. But it's also, especially in vinyl, it's a piece of art. You design an album cover. You pick the liner notes. You know, you see what goes where. You pick a track listing, what goes on side A, what goes on side B. There's a real art form to it. It's not just, oh, this song's done, let's just release it.
Right. He's obsessed with liner notes. Like, he
could, I love liner notes.
He could tell you any one they played on any Beatles.
When I was a kid, I poured over liner notes.
Is that your favorite band, the Beatles?
My favorite, like...
Well, who were your influences?
My biggest influences, besides Billy Joel and the Beatles, Elvis Costello is my favorite artist. I love the Smiths. Roxy Music is a band I really love.
You're the second person to tell me Elvis Costello was a major influence.
He's my all-time favorite.
In 24 hours.
In fact, Lindsay and I were supposed to go see Elvis Costello, and her mom got sick, and I went alone, like, because she couldn't go. And she said, you have to go. And I sat there with an empty seat next to me and just watched Elvis Costello.
Cool, and somewhere for your beer.
Yeah. So,
no offense, but no offense.
Yeah. Radiohead's Brian and I, it's a big influence.
I've always been a big Prince fan. Smiths, Prince.
Radiohead. Yeah, we love Springsteen growing up. Paul Simon was a big influence on me. There's a lot of great new artists too.
Yeah, like Depeche Mode, The Cure. I like a lot of the stuff from the 80s.
Well, that's so you like that. What was classified as alternative rock.
Yeah.
But like, what we like is we like to get obsessed with stuff too. Where like, if I get into an artist, I'll listen to him nonstop for even like two straight months. And I, you know, it's really the only way to do it for me. You know, is I love getting like kind of enthralled with something.
And I'll find weird guilty pleasures that I will spend like a week on, like ABBA. I recently got really into ABBA and like spent a week listening to ABBA. ABBA was really good.
Yeah, like last year was Lynyrd Skynyrd for me. I just got into him, and I was like, this is awesome.
Wow.
But I mean, you know, and I'll spend a week with the new Arcade Fire album or something. You know, there's still a lot of great rock and roll music, and there's still a lot of great pop music being made. I don't want to make it seem like we're disparaging modern music. We are influenced, though, a lot by what our parents listened to and what Brian and I were able to find in record stores.
What did they listen to?
My mom's favorite artist of all time is Barry Manilow.
And she loves Johnny Mathis. Influenced by that, really.
But my dad was started as an FM jock and, like, on radio, and you know he got us into the Beatles.
What station?
Back in Cleveland on WZLE in Cleveland in Lorain, Ohio. That was
Cleveland
my dad's first
rocks.
Station. Yeah, but no, my dad, like when we were kids, you know, he was very important with making sure we didn't just listen to Beatles albums. That he also gave me a copy of All Things Must Pass by George Harrison and said, "You should go beyond the Beatles." And you know who my favorite band growing up was, who I was obsessed with? And this
Chicago.
Was a big... Chicago.
I love Chicago.
I loved early Chicago, like the jazzy pop stuff from the early records.
CTA.
Yeah. And I wrote Robert Lamb, their keyboardist and main songwriter, a letter when I was like 10 years old. And saying, like, I love Chicago. I worship Chicago.
And he wrote it back on a pizza.
Postcard. It wrote me back via hand, like by hand, and said, thank you for liking Chicago so much. But there really are other bands. Like, you should go check out other music and not just... listen to Chicago. And that was a big lesson.
Terry Kath of Jimi Hendrix said that was his favorite guitar player. Right?
Yeah, we listen to all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, my favorite album of all time is Pet Sounds, though. Like, I like that stuff. But I also like Neutral Milk Hotels and The Airplane Over the Sea and Wilco and things like that.
Okay. I mean, you know, diversity, I guess, with music is key.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as much of a music guy as I'm... What, Gallen? What was that
face? No, I was total agreement, actually. Because,
that's your total agreement face?
Yeah.
I'd hate to see when you disagree.
Wow.
As an artist, like, you often get, like, you hear music and you're always like, boy, why can't I do that? Or, like, can I do something like that? Like, even listen to something like early Kanye West records. Like, you say, like, is it possible to be influenced by something like that? Because they're great, these early records. And you never know where you're going to find inspiration from. It can be from a commercial jingle.
Okay.
Which is how Barry Manilow got his start. Barry Manilow used to write commercial jingles.
It's time for you to go now.
That's to say nothing of Kanye West's personality.
But that's like, I'm influenced heavily by even, like, Bernard Herrmann scores of Hitchcock films.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I'll hear stuff.
I get that. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, Brian really, he writes instrumental music, and it's really good. Again, go to YouTube and go to Brian Johnson Ambient Music. But Brian's, like, ultimate goal is to be a film scorer.
I recently read something about music and film, about how it has as much effect on the movie as it does, you know, the actual acting, and you know, it's such an integral part that people just take for granted because they can't see it.
Yeah, imagine Psycho without music.
That's what they use. That was the example that they use.
Or a lack of music in film, like a movie like Annie Hall, which is my favorite movie of all time, has no score to it. And it feels that way. Like, you feel isolated because there's no music.
Exactly.
What were you going to say, Brian?
You just ruined it.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. I was watching a special with Spielberg and John Williams, and they played a scene from Raiders of the Lost Ark without the music, and totally different feel.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where a lot of those old classic films, like The Ten Commandments or Ben-Hur, you know, those, can you imagine them without music?
No.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, I can remember being a 12-year-old kid, I guess, sitting in the theater when the original Star Wars came out, 13 years old. Was that 75, 76, 1976 when that came
77.
Out? 77. I was older. 77. Is it 77?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was 13. In 1977, when that came out, I remember when, you know, the opening theme, and it was so powerful. It was like, whoa.
And think about it. If Star Wars, which is technically a sci-fi film, had a sci-fi score, like if it had synthesizers, and it would be a totally different movie.
Uh-huh.
But it's got this romantic type of John Williams music that makes it seem like a space epic and not just a sci-fi film.
Like
music
is
that's totally key. Integral to that. Yeah.
Key. If you're just tuning in, this is Rock on Radio. My guests this evening are the Clydes. 609-460-4673. We'll give you a copy of the entire Clydes catalog if you would like. We can do that. And you guys want to do another tune?
Sure. What do you want to play, Brad?
You want to do California?
Savvy Row.
Yeah.
Whoa. You don't want to play a newer? All right, let's play.
Savvy Row.
Oh, let's see. I know if I remember how to play. This is a song from our last full-length album, which is called Hiding from the Summer, and had the octopus eating Atlantic City on it.
I see that.
All right. 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. G and the cavalry down the street again. I got debts that I cannot pay and the rent again. I know, you know, selling gifts at the corner store. I can't be brave 7 times now. I can't behave again. Na 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 na. Na, 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 na. Sally G and the What to See on the radio. I got debts that I cannot pay and a way to go. I know, you know, selling gifts at the corner store. I can't be brave 7 times now. You can't behave again. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. You don't know where to go. Your face lines in the snow. You don't know where to go. Like a cabinet. I got debts that I cannot pay and a cigarette. I know, you know, selling gifts at the corner store. I can't be brave 7 times now. I can't behave again. Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Don't know where to go. Yeah, your face lines in the snow. You don't know where to go. You don't know where to go. You don't know where to go.
The Clydes here on Rock on Radio. Thank you, fellas. fantastic.
Thank you for having
fantastic.
Us. This has been great.
Fantastic. Well, we still got time.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying this has been fantastic. This is a great diner conversation. You know,
he loves talking.
Well, that's,
I do.
That's pretty much what the show was designed to be. It was diner conversation. How many times you go somewhere? Now, you guys are musicians, right?
Yeah.
How many times you go, right? As if I didn't know that by now.
We're just fake.
We play like one on radio.
Yeah. We have guys in the back actually playing for us.
There are bands like that. Milli Vanilli. How many times do you go somewhere and you overhear a conversation, whether it be a christening or a backyard barbecue or something? You overhear a conversation, somebody's talking about music, or they went to see this, or they went to see that, or I had a gig, and your ears perk up because it's like, I don't know you, but I might be able to network with you, you know? And then you start talking, and you have these conversations, and it turns out there's such a commonality between, you know that guy? Yeah, I know that guy. You know her? Yeah, I know her. Yeah, I did a gig here. And that's pretty much the way I designed this program was to do it that way, you know, and give people the opportunity to be heard on the radio, you know? So, you know, please do whatever you want with this program because I will send it to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pull it off the net.
I literally tweeted in the middle of the show a picture of Brian.
I know.
And you there.
I got it.
My point, we will promote the hell out of it.
I did the same.
Great.
Of you and Brian.
Oh, that's awesome. I didn't see that.
I'm disappointed.
Social media is me. Brian wants all the attention.
I thought I was a special one for a second.
Yeah. Well, you know
the younger ones.
That's a nice pick guard you got there. Where'd you...
This is a Gibson Hummingbird.
Yeah, Brian is a guitar aficionado.
I got used. This was from Flint, Michigan, and someone didn't want it. So these are usually really expensive, but I got a steal on it, so...
He also buys amplifiers by the ton. Like if he gets
going to
a
debt
few
because
extra
of
dollars,
my
we may not get him into the room tomorrow night when you guys are on One More with Danny Coleman.
Why is that?
Because Monmouth Music is mostly a guitar shop.
Is it really?
It's got drums and some keyboards and things,
a lot of
accessories. But the owner Mario is a friend of mine, and him and I are actually in a band together.
Oh, nice!
And he's got a lot of guitars in that store.
Well, Brian will. I just play rhythm. He's the guitar wonder.
Yeah, I actually let him use my Les Paul for a while, and he dropped it on stage a number of times.
So I chipped to limit the top. The time.
It kind of makes it cool now, though. A little
think
bit
so? Gives it character.
A little bit.
Yes.
If he hit this one, I'd get really mad, though.
All right. Well, I just pulled up online here actually the whole Rock New Brunswick thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hub City Sounds. Mr. Macon posted it to the Facebook page while we were on the air. September 8th, New Brunswick Music Scene Archive Panel Discussion. That's got some industry people and some local musicians. I know Sharif Hobley is going to be on that panel and so on and so forth. September 9th, warm-up parties at Volume 4 Studios and the New Jersey Skate Shop, NJ Skate Shop. September 10th, festival in Boyd Park with 8 bands, DIY market, food trucks, busking, community workshops, aerialists, DJs, and more. September 10th, after party at the Scarlet Pub.
Yep.
It's all presented by the New Brunswick Cultural Center, Smug Bug Productions, and the NJ Music Media Partnership with NewBrunswickArts.com. Now, I am proud to say that myself, as well as this program, and my YouTube program and Carousel Arts, One More with Danny Coleman, Carousel, are all sponsors of this event. So I will be there.
Great.
Probably, what's today?
Today is the 27th.
27th, right?
Yeah,
I guess I'll leave Tuesday. I got to go set up shop. it's in New Brunswick. Boyd Park is located
right along the Raton River.
Right there, right?
Yeah, right there.
You used to not be able to walk down that way, but now it's very nice.
New Brunswick's gotten such a great renaissance. It's like the city itself is really nice now. Scarlet Pub is on Easton Avenue, which is the thoroughfare of bars and restaurants at the college.
You're getting closer to the St. Peter's Hospital.
By St. Peter's Hospital when you're there, which is where Brian and I were born. We were born at St. Peter's Hospital in New Brunswick.
Oh, there you go.
So it'll be like a homecoming.
Oh, I thought you meant the Basilica.
No. No, that would be, you know... You have to say a few novenas before we go on.
I was going to say, Lindsay, you're in trouble. He thinks he's God.
Yeah.
So what can we expect at the Scarlet Pub out of you guys?
Oh, that's the full band. The full band will be there.
Okay.
So we're going to rock.
Well, my man, Mad Mardigan?
Mad Mardigan will be there full with headband, and you never know what Mad
Mardigan
will
give away a headband that night.
And 80s tennis shorts?
Maybe. And sometimes our bassist, Andrew Lloyd Chandler, sometimes he's been known. He once showed up dressed in nothing but a robe and a medallion, and he looked like Mark Spitz after a match in, like, 1976.
Nice.
And, you know, he once wore a sombrero on Cinco de Mayo through an entire show.
He also proposed at the Court Tavern in New Brunswick.
He did. He proposed to his wife, Perry, at the Court Tavern in New Brunswick.
Well, better than somebody else's wife.
Yeah, it would be.
There'd be a problem.
Yeah,
there,
that would be.
It's 21st century now, so.
Right.
What does that even mean? What? 21st century.
You know what I mean.
I guess I do.
So, Callan, I should probably show up at that gig, like, with my Hugh Hefner smoking jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a cigar.
You can then recite poetry.
Maybe a dog. I can just stand there, my hand on its head, like Nipper. We got to go to the vault and steal Nipper out of the RCA Victor dog. We got to steal that out of the thing there. Right? Again, how can we get your music? How can we get all this?
Go to theclydesmusic.com or go to Facebook, Bandcamp, Twitter, YouTube. What else am I missing?
Make loud noises.
Yeah, iTunes, Spotify. We are the Clydes. And again, not the bluegrass band from North Carolina. We are the Clydes from New Brunswick, New Jersey.
You're giving them way too much press.
I guess I am.
Man, he's pretty.
But I just, because, no, we
that's
had.
Under his skin.
We had to, like, go to iTunes and be like, they were, like, putting our songs under theirs and their songs under ours. It was like, and we came up with that name first.
What you need is somebody who's a lawyer to send that cease and desist order.
I know. But, I mean, you know, I guess you can't copyright titles or names or something. I don't know.
Trademark,
I guess.
No,
but either way, we are the Clydes from New Brunswick, New Jersey. We have an EP just came out called Lucid Garden, and we have another full-length album called So the Story Goes is the name of the new album, coming out in October on Mint 400 Records. We're really excited about it, so please check us out.
Fantastic. Gotta love it. Well, we got a couple minutes left here. We got three minutes left. Yep. I just got the. It's not a rap tune. It's a 3-second thing there that John does like that. Yeah, he's not giving me all that stuff. So, where do you expect or hope the Clydes to go?
Oh well, we want to keep. We are hoping to make more music for the label, and I mean, Brian. We want to stretch out a little more. We might make a little bit different of a record next time. Maybe fewer guitars and more space. You know, try some instrumentals. I don't know. We're always open to expanding and trying and experimenting. What do you say, Brian?
We've always just wanted more people to hear the music. You know, that's always been our goal. You know, how big we're going to become, that's not really in our control sometimes. But we just want more people to hear us.
We're not going to stop writing. We write all the time. Brian and I write all the time, so... Okay. There will be more music definitely coming soon.
You know, this is the first time I've heard you guys. You know, one of the things that I pride myself on is doing little to no research about my guest, because I really don't want to know about it. I want to know nothing about you. I want to find out just as much as everybody else does.
Yeah.
And I've been chastised for that. I've been criticized for that. But you know what? I don't care.
Do your thing.
You know what? I'd rather come here and be just as surprised about you as you are to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would rather learn right along with my listeners, you know, for the most part.
It's been great being here. This is a great show. So,
okay, well, I thank you both very much.
Thank you
for making that effort. We've got probably about 30 seconds or so, right, John, before we have to go. I'll see you guys tomorrow night.
Yeah, see you tomorrow night. And again, Rock New Brunswick. The whole weekend of music in New Brunswick. Bob Macon put it on. And we'll be at the after party on September 10th.
September, what time's your set?
10 or about 10, sometime after 10 o'clock, like 10, 11, something like that.
The 10th is a Saturday, right?
It's a Sunday. Yeah,
so I'll be here, won't be there. But unfortunately, I'm going to have to miss it. But if you're just tuning in, this is Rock on Radio. You've missed it. but you can catch it on a replay right here on PANJRadio.com or any one of the affiliates. And I want to thank, I want to welcome, with the whole Santa Ray thing, I almost forgot. We are back on Z108.net. They used to carry the show live when I was on at 10 p.m. And then when I switched times, they couldn't. But now they are an affiliate again. And they, for the time being, they will be re-airing this program at midnight on Sundays. So next Sunday, you can hear the show on Z108.net.
in its entirety once again. And then after they make some arrangements, they're going to bump us down to a better time slot. So, Guy, I want to thank John. They are also a sponsor of the One More Rockin' Happy Hour, which takes place September 26th at the Tiernan Oak in Trenton. So we will, that's right, we will promote all of that. Thank you, fellas. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Best of luck with Rock New Brunswick and everything else. And again, if you're just tuning in, I had a show here tonight dedicated to the memory of our good friend Santa Ray. Life is short, people. You never know when your stay at the hotel is up, in the words of Oj. So love while you can. All right? Till next week, rock on!